This is Jennifer Hill, and the show is Finding Common Ground. It's noon in Belfast, and I'd like to welcome you to WBFY, Belfast Community Radio's talk show. We're recording this program for playback on July 21st, 2018, so we won't have any call-ins for this episode. It will be live back next week. I'd like to introduce Rosie Gary, candidate for Waldo County Commissioner, to the program. Rosie is from Lincolnville and is reported to be a musician, a historian, a playwright, an actor, a mechanic, and a selectman, and probably a whole lot more things. He's unenrolled in any political party. He's challenging incumbent Waldo County Commissioner Betty Johnson, a Democrat, for her seat in November. Welcome to the program, Rosie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Yeah. I understand that your family has lived in Lincolnville for generations. Can you want to share a little bit about your family history?
Sure. I'm really involved in the historical societies, and I'm very interested in the history, especially the state of Maine, but also our local area. It's really important to me. So on my mother's side, the family came to Duck Trap. They came there in about 1850s, somewhere in the 1850s. We don't know the exact date, but if you went to the Whale's Tooth Pub and you looked on the wall, there's a lot of pictures of Duck Trap and the beach area, and you'll see a little Cooper shop out on the bridge when the bridge used to be just above the waterline, the high tide mark there in Duck Trap, not where the bridge is now, which is sky high. But there was a little Cooper shop out there, and that was my great grandfather.
What's a Cooper shop? Cooper
shop is barrel Cooper shop, where he made barrels.
Like big beer barrels?
No, there were barrels to actually, they held flax, apples, things like that. At one point in time, Duck Trap was a really busy shipping a port there. They shipped a lot of stuff out of Duck Trap. There were long piers out there, and if you go down to Duck Trap now and stand on the rocks and look across the little narrow, that's very deep in there, and if you look, there's a little ring over there that's embedded in a rock, and they would put the rope through that ring and pull the ships through so that they could pull them in and pull them into the cove itself. Hmm. So,
I wonder why they chose that area, because it was so deep, maybe?
Well, it was that, but also that was part of the first settlements there in there. The Alma brothers, after the Revolutionary War, were given that piece of land. Hmm. And they were given both sides of the river, George and Philip Alma, and
A-L-M-A?
U. They came up from Waldoboro. They were German. And they brought with them many people who were to find work there. Knox gave them that piece of land if they'd build a bridge, a dam.
Mr. Knox?
What's that?
Mr. Knox?
Yes, Henry Knox.
Was alive.
Henry Knox, yes. Yeah, he was. This was like 1778, 1779 in there. And for serving with him during the Revolutionary War, when he came back, he gave the Alma brothers each a tract of land there on each side of the Duck Trap, which they were to develop and make a village, and they did.
So were these your ancestors?
They weren't. No, like I said, my Bill Batten was his name. He was my great grandfather. He came there in a boat.
Latecomer.
He was a latecomer. He was from away. He came all the way over from Windsor, Maine. He was born in Windsor, Maine, so he came from there. But they came there and he started that barrel business, and he actually, over here at the Little River, mm-hmm. in 1908, was on his way with a load of barrels on what was old Route 1, and some people don't even know where that was. I mean, I've There's three settlers of roads on Route 1 that come up from the shore and stuff. So he was in 1908. He was on his way with a load of team of horses and I don't know if you ever seen them hauling barrels when they're taking them to market. They pyramid them, and it's they're stacked. They're stacked so high, and it's really way over height. You know, of course there were no telephone lines or electrical lines to mount them. But anyway, you get the little river, and the wagon. Something happened. The roads, because 1908.
It was winter.
No. Yeah. The road was, because people can't imagine what things were. The roads were really rough, and somewhere right there in the little river area, the wagon tipped over, and he was pinned for 8 hours before anybody came along. Can you imagine that? Anybody coming along on Route 1 today?
No.
8 hours he was there.
Was it the middle of the night?
No, it was. He'd left early in the morning with a load, and so they didn't take him to the hospital. He wanted to go home. They took him back to Duck Trap, and believe it or not, this sounds really crazy, but the nearest doctor at that time was Union, Maine, and they brought the doctor, 3 days later, they brought the doctor in from Union, and the doctor said, oh my goodness, I can't do anything for him. Gangrene had set in.
And his legs both?
Yes. And 3 days after that, he died.
That was your grandfather?
The great-grandfather.
Oh.
Great-grandfather.
He'd already had your father, or your grandfather by then.
Yes. Well, my grandmother, actually.
Yeah, actually.
My grandmother.
Technically,
that was my grandmother. And she grew up there in the duck trap area until she was like 11 years old. And then she had to move, and then she went to Owlsboro. And so we've always been there. Now, my father's side came up from Arundel, Maine, and we're part of the, although I sometimes say I hate to get into politics, and yet I'm always finding myself involved in politics. I'm a direct descendant of Elbridge Gerry, the founder of gerrymandering or gerrymandering.
No.
Yes.
No, really?
Yes.
Oh my God.
I know. I don't broadcast that too much.
Yeah, it's kind of an unpopular thing.
It is. It's not a real popular thing. But his descendant, which was John Gerry, was living in Arundel and came to the Detroit, still Waldo County, Detroit, Burnham, Troy town lines, and did a settlement there. And that was in 1779. He came up there. So I've been in Waldo County. The Hooks have been here a long time. So I'm really, really interested in Waldo County.
So what made you decide to run for county commissioner?
Well, I'd like to say I was bored, but that would be just, you know. I have a real interest in town and local government, county government. I have no interest any further than that. But I also believe that we should all, every one of us, should take an interest in how things are run and how things go. I think that's the reason why I became a selectman, because I figured it was like my turn, you know, and so I ran and won and was a selectman for 10 years. And
you're no longer a selectman?
No, I am not. Oh. No, I chose to not, you know,
so
it was time.
So you
ran
for this?
No, I actually had some time off and just saw that this was coming up and actually Betty's a friend of mine.
Betty is the commissioner now.
Yes, she is. I'm not running because I think that the commissioners have done anything wrong. They've actually done a fantastic job. They've kept the budget balanced, and I think we're the only, I don't know if I should make that statement, I'll try it anyway. If I'm wrong, I apologize up front, but I think we're one of the only counties in the state of Maine that's running in the black. Mm-hmm. And so we've got a good thing going here in Waldo County. We've got a really good sheriff's department.
So are you going to vote for yourself?
I probably will have to consider that. I'm not sure. I probably will follow what other candidates have done in the past. It's probably what I'll do with that. I'll just follow suit. And yeah.
What do they do?
I think they voted for themselves, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds, though, like you really like the way things are going.
I do.
So why would you vote any other way?
Well, because there's always that art of surprise. There's always the art of... not that, you know, anybody that tells you they're going to go in and they're going to make a lot of changes and changes do and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. I'm not going to vote for that person, probably. I'm really not, because that person is lying to me already. Because,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Change is hard.
Change is very hard. But I think to keep the program going, I'm very supportive of keeping existing programs going, and I'm very interested in like I said, the county, Waldo County.
Okay.
I'm very proud of this county.
Do you have bumper stickers?
I don't have anything yet.
Fact is, are you going to have bumper stickers?
I don't think so. I'm not going to say I'm not. I'm not going to say I am. I'm at this point in time. It's still early.
Yeah.
November's a long time away. And
are you doing any door to door?
I've done a little bit, but I haven't done a whole lot.
What do you say? Do you have a speech all prepared?
I do not. I just go in and, you know, you need to be interested in the families and what the families are doing. What's going on in their lives? I don't think it's right to go in and tell them how much you've done or what you can do or what you can't do. I think you just need to be interested in people. And I have a general interest in people. And I really think that that's important. And if you have an interest and you have something which I pride myself in most of the time, and that is common sense. Just no matter what you're doing in life, whether it's you're running for a political office or you're cutting wood, you're working on cars, having a conversation with someone. Just be yourself and be interested in that person, and don't try to blow smoke.
Mm.
People today are very aware of what's. I think the nation is aware of what's going on, and just be yourself and use common sense.
Mm.
You know, just use common sense.
So you will be having an active campaign, you think?
I think I will.
Okay.
I just don't want to kiss too many babies right now. The babies will forget, you know. Babies will be a little older when it gets to be November. So.
So when we spoke on the phone, you tell me that you work 7 days a week. What are your activities?
Well, let's see. The run of a day, for instance.
The run of a day.
Up at 4. Go on the computer. Check out all the local news.
Are you on Facebook?
I am not a Facebook. You know, no offense, but I really don't care about your cousin's boyfriend's niece's husband. And what they're doing with their life, I really don't care. That part I don't care about. That's
okay.
The truth. What I do care about is there something somebody really needs? What can we do? You know, I've been involved in. What's that?
What sites do you go on?
well, I go on to Village Soup, and I go to Penn Bay Pilot. And I look at the news there. I don't spend a whole lot of time with national news because public radio comes on, or WERU comes on, or the radio stations, and I get a little bit of of them. We can't pick up this station in Lincolnville Center.
You have to go on your computer.
You'd have to go on your computer then. And I haven't done that yet. I'll be very honest and tell you I haven't done that yet.
Well, you'll have to listen to this program.
I will. I will. Well, anyway, so that starts at around 4. Then by 5:30, I do a little music practice usually every day. I pick up my guitar and do a little practice, work on some music. And then it's flying out the door, jump in the pickup truck, and
what time is
it now? It's probably around 6.
Okay.
6:30 at the latest, and then I'm off to whatever the construction site is. You know, right now I'm clearing a piece of land for a family who they're building a big barn to house their 32-foot sailboat in the wintertime and stuff, and so we've completely cleared about 1 acre of land for them and
built a road. So you're not retired, you're working.
No, I'm going to be 70 my next birthday, and I don't see any need to retire this. I couldn't.
Okay.
I couldn't. And then usually that's what I do a good part of the day. Then about 2:30, 3 o'clock, if I'm not playing at we play several times a month at assisted living places, the elderly. I have a very deep passion for the elderly, and we go there. And
did you always? Or is this
yes, I always have. Yeah. I wouldn't have the historical knowledge that I have today when I was, and I don't mean to get off the beaten path here.
We're not on any path.
When I was, this is a true story, and you can read that perhaps in a magazine or you know, they did do an interview. But
I did want to remind people that we are listening to Rosie Geary. Geary, am I pronouncing
that
right?
That's right.
Who is a candidate for Weldon County Commissioner, and just to remind folks, this is Finding Common Ground. Go ahead, Rose.
When I was 6 years old, I lived on the Youngtown Road in Lincolnville, and there was no allowance. That my folks didn't have it. We didn't have anything, so there was no allowance. So if you wanted any money, so I used to have a little packet of all occasion cards, Cloverine salve, and the Grit newspaper. You ever hear of the Grit newspaper?
No.
Well, that was a newspaper, a little newspaper that would come and they would send me several copies of that, and I would sell those. I think it was back then, I think it was like a dime maybe. Maybe it was 25 cents, and I would get a percentage of that by selling that. And it was just the back news. It really, you know, it probably wasn't that anything like the Russians had nothing to do with us. You know, it had nothing. But it was just every day. This was 1955.
So you're selling newspapers.
I'm selling these newspapers. I'm selling Clovering Side. And I'm walking around the block, which is about a 3 or 4 mile circle, and these people, you know, they didn't around here. I don't know what they had in other parts of the world. Around here, people stayed in their homes, and they didn't. To me, it didn't seem to be so much Alzheimer's as it is today. It just didn't seem, you know. But people would stay in their homes in their 80s and their 90s, and I would visit with these ladies and these gentlemen, and they would tell me the history of Lincolnville. And that's how I got really interested
You went door to door to sell.
I did go door to door. So I'm not afraid to go door to door. I've got a lot of experience door to door.
So you'd go in and sit in here like,
well, come in, sit down. Would you have some cookies? Would you have some milk? Would you like a glass of milk? You must be so tired. Listen, I'm 6 years old.
Six.
Can you imagine being today?
No.
And my parents never worried. And I used to walk.
How far did you go?
Well, it's probably about 5 or 6 miles to go completely around if you go down Youngtown Road and up 173. But it would start to get later on in the evening, and I'd bushwhack back through the woods because, you know, it's quite a ways, but there were just these little woods roads and stuff that you knew you could get back over on Youngtown Road and stuff. And so, and you never worried about, there was no ticks, there was no, there were no coyotes, there were no real dangers back then that you ever think of it.
So what motivates you? Is it money to keep going?
No, I just love to work. I love working. I love working.
Were you an only child?
I am not. I am the oldest of three.
And is everyone in the family such workers?
They're all workers, yeah. Well, my sister's passed away, and my brother is retired and has some medical issues now. But my mother and father both were workers. They were hard workers. And my father left home when he was 8 years old.
Eight years old.
That's
and lived on his own?
Well, he lived in, he went, there was 11 kids in his family. And
yeah,
they just,
that's the way they used
there was no way for anybody to take care of anybody. So he went to work in a logging camp in Monson, Maine.
At 8 years old?
Yeah, he was what they called a tea boy. And he dragged tea. You know, my father had no education. But he went on to, one thing I'm very proud of, I'm very proud of my father anyway, but he was a survivor of Omaha Beach, World War II, the landing first wave. I don't know if you know anything about that. That is absolutely one of the most horrific things I'd ever. For those of you who have probably seen the movie, Spielberg's movie, Saving Private Ryan, which is very explicit. It's very close to what happened to my father. So I am a veteran myself.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, graduating.
Air Force.
Graduating from high school, being out of high school 3 weeks, and getting a draft notice and saying,
Vietnam.
And 1967 was not a good time to...
Did you go to Vietnam?
I did not. I don't know why. I grew up extremely, poor. But for some reason, it always seemed like there's always been a door that's opened up for me for some reason. And if it doesn't open up, oh well. You know, just...
That's a good attitude.
Well, I know. You just
can't...
So,
did you learn to fly planes? Or?
No, I did not. No, I actually... Let me. It's a tough story, but I went in and I started out in crash rescue, which is kind of hard to take. But while in the military, this
it's kind of like MASH.
Well, no. Crash rescue was I was in like a fire department when the planes had an incident. We were there laying down foam and rescuing and stuff. And
but where were you stationed?
I was, I started out, I was, went to Texas, of course, and then went to Illinois. And then I went to Spandau, Bitburg, Germany. And then I was in the Azores for a while. And so had a chance to travel a little bit and get around.
Nice. And you were a fireman.
I was for a while. And then I became a chaplain's assistant. I know everything there is to know about a mimeograph machine. Do you know? Have you ever used a mimeograph machine?
I think I might have, actually.
I know them inside and out because I got to do all the church bulletins. And I know everything there is to know about vacuum cleaners, too. That's what my job was. I am very proud and very supportive of the boys who had to go and do the stuff that they had to do.
Yeah.
And the horror show, we have no clue. I have no clue. But I'm very proud of them, and I support them. I do not support war. I am not a war supporter. But I do support that if we are called in, I am a supporter of it. But it's...
Well, Betty was on the show last week.
Mm-hmm.
She says that her position deals with budgets a lot.
Yes.
So do you have experience with that?
We do. Lincolnville budget for the town budget. We worked with that and helping to make sure that a town can still function and trying to keep individuals the taxes down. I think it's important to make sure that we live someplace that we can afford to live.
Stay within the bounds.
I do. I really do.
So you have experience with that. She said that the commissioner is a full-time position. Are you ready to give up some of your activities to make room for this?
I am ready to do, just like when going in the mill, whatever the job calls for, I'm ready to do that. I'm ready to do that. If I wasn't, I wouldn't have filled out all that paperwork and gone over and taken that ethics class and all the stuff that you need to do to do this. So, yeah.
You have to take an ethics class?
Yeah, I took a little class over in Augusta. It was a little ethics class. And they asked me if I was, that was one of the things they asked me.
Yeah.
They said, you're non-party, so we need to brief you on some things here. And I said, okay. I said, but I am a member of a party. And they said, oh, wait a minute. No, you can't. And they said, what are you talking? I said, I'm a member of the Common Sense Party. And they said, okay, all right, let's get on with the thing.
Betty said she affiliates with groups such as the Maine Creative Coalition and Aging Well in Walda County, which she says enhances her work as commissioner. What areas would you like to focus on? What organizations?
I've always been a person that wherever there's something that needs to be done, wherever the void is, do I have some desires and things? I do, but...
Tell us about your desires.
Well, no, I think it's important to... I'm really interested in our county roads also. That's keeping up with our county roads.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very, very supportive of our sheriff's department.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like I said, I think those guys are really doing a great job. We have a number.
We had Jeff Trafton on the program.
Yep. Jeff's a real good guy.
Yeah.
Real good guy. And running for sheriff again.
Yes, yep. He is. Yeah.
We have several officers of the Waldo County office. Lives in Lincolnville. I'm familiar with all of those. And I got to say, for what's going on around the country, we are extremely fortunate to have the officers and the quality of the officers that we have here in Waldo County. I think their educational background in police work is of the highest quality. I really do. I'm very, very impressed with how Waldo County handles its officers Yeah, I'm real, real, real pleased with that.
This is Belfast Community Radio, WBFY 100.9 FM in Belfast, Maine. We're streaming live at belfastcommunityradio.org. And my name is Jennifer Hill, and I'm here today with Rosie Gary, candidate for Waldo County Commissioner. And this is a recorded program today, so we're not doing calls. I wanted to ask you about you're a selectman in Lincolnville. You're not, though, now. You've given that up. What did you like about being a selectman?
I like the part about where there's some hard times, where people are real upset with you. Yes, you cannot please all the people all the time, but I like the fact that I probably was one of the few selectmen that got multiple phone calls a week about stuff in the town, and I would put an effort into finding out an answer and giving people an answer.
That's
yes,
a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. Yeah. It is a lot of work.
But you're a people person. It sounds
yes,
like.
Yeah, and I really, I liked working with Lincolnville. Very fortunate to have an excellent, and I mean excellent, crew working in the town office. We have a town administrator who is exceptional. He really is.
You sound like a patriarch of your town.
I am. And you know what? It's one of those things where it's better to keep your mouth shut. If you don't have anything good to say, Keep your mouth shut. But if you have something good to say, what's that?
My mother used to say.
Yes.
That. Well, I did want to ask you about the sheriff. You compared the sheriff's office in Waldo County to other policing going on around the country. What do you see that's not happening in Lincolnville happening in other parts of the country?
Well, I'm hoping we never get to that point, but it can always happen. Shooters, school shooting.
Yeah.
I think Waldo County, God forbid, but I think they're well trained for something. I mean, how is anybody really trained? But I think that, you know, they've done a good job. We've had a couple close incidences, and they've been Johnny on the spot with that.
It's hard to know how you'd be in the situation when it really happened.
Right. But I think that from what I've seen, and I have seen some firsthand up here, I think that Waldo County's officers, when they're approaching something, their attitude seems to be a little bit different. They don't come in with, and I don't mean to be stereotyped, but they don't go into a situation with a Gestapo attitude. Mm-hmm. That what's going on here? What can we do to defuse this situation?
Well,
and what can we do to not have to put somebody in handcuffs? And I think that's the attitude, and I think that's come from. I think that's come from some good training. I think Jeff has had a lot to do with that. I know Jason Trundy. Is just the chief deputy, is just one of the most phenomenal guys out there. I mean, he's just, I served with him on the select board. He's rational. He's reasonable. He's willing to take things in and analyze them before he jumps to conclusion just like that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what happens today with politics, and I think it's happening with a lot of things, is people are jumping the gun before they're having an opportunity to sit down and really analyze what is the right thing here to do.
So how do you experience poverty in Waldo County? How do you experience poverty in Waldo County? How do you experience it? Do you see it?
I see it every day. So, see it every day.
Is it bothersome?
It certainly is. It really does, because it affects, you know, we may get up in the morning, splash water on our face, brush our teeth, grab a cup of coffee or whatever, jump in the car and go to work, but somewhere during that day, you're going to run into it. No matter whether you work in Bath, you work in Bangor, where you're going to experience that. You're going to run into that.
Do you think you'll be able to affect any of that as commissioner?
I think any time that something like that arises. Now, I know that as a selectman, we dealt with a lot of what we call poverty abatements, tax abatements. People couldn't pay their property taxes. And I know that I've sat in on some abatements in the county. When the town can't settle something, then it goes to the commissioners.
Oh.
And if it can't be, you have an opportunity to appeal. If you're not satisfied with your town, you have an opportunity to appeal it and go. And again, something that I learned, you know, there are places where common sense comes in. Just use common sense. There are other places where, if there is a ruling, or an ordinance, or a policy that's set, and they say, this is how we do this. When you take an oath, when you take any office, and that is to uphold the laws, and so if that be a case, you've got to uphold that ruling of law, whether you agree with it or not, by rights. You've already taken an oath to uphold that ruling, and you can, the only thing you could do is start a program to to change that rule or regulation if it's really a bad rule or regulation. Yeah. You need to work on that and get that changed. And I have done that as a selectman. I've worked very diligently to change some rules and regulations that just didn't apply to Lincolnville. Mm-hmm. They applied to Yarmouth or Freeport, mm-hmm. but not Lincolnville, you know. And the same way with Waldo County. I think you have to abide by what the rules are and stuff. And again, you take each case and you look at it individually and just.
Is there an appeal after the commissioners if they say yay or nay? Then
that I'm not sure of. I don't. You know,
probably
I mean,
take it up with a congressman.
Well, that's true. I mean, you can always keep going. If you've got the money, I guess, and the time, you can keep going.
So are you familiar with the Waldo County Community Action Partners and their work or poverty?
Somewhat, not fully, because I have not been right in the mud and the blood and the beer.
Actually, they do a lot with transportation.
Yes.
And it made me think of, I was interested that you're interested in roads, and I thought about your Owl's Head Transportation, affiliation, and I
yes.
wondered if transportation was a big issue for you. Is this something you want to focus on? A lot of seniors.
I'm interested in the transportation thing. One of the things that I've always been interested in, because veterans have always been a soft spot for veterans in my heart. I have a soft spot for other things also, but the veterans, and I've always made veteran organizations aware that call me. If somebody needs a ride to Togas or they need something, a veteran needs something, I've always done that. And I work with some of the other assisted living facilities in the area, and they call on me from time to time for different programs. Could you do this? Could you do that? I have several antique cars, and I bring those to the people and give them rides. And
well, that must be fun.
It is. We got one of those coming up at Quarry Hill in Camden on the 25th of, I think it's the 25th of July, where several people show up with their antique cars, and the people just come out, and we take them for a couple mile drive and talk to them get their picture taken, and they're very, very happy, and it makes them happy.
But what about public transportation? People
yes.
really, you know, moving people from here to there. Who, a lot of people in Maine live at the end of a road, out in the Willywacks, and owning a car for an elderly person is
expensive.
Yeah, and they can't work on themselves.
Maintenance, yeah.
So, what are your thoughts about public transportation and how it might help seniors be less isolated?
I believe that public transportation is very important for the simple reason that some of the people that live on that road that you just spoke of, they're forced to sell their 100-acre farms. These farms get broken up. It's no longer in the family. It's no longer, you know, and it might have been in that family because they're no longer able to get around, and then they're forced to move into town where they're closer to stores, which is nice, but I think there's always that longing to be home. It's never home again. And then some people, I believe, my belief, it's they're nice facilities, but they're forced to move into an assisted living facility a lot sooner than what they're. And transportation is a big part of that. Why they've done that. So yes, I'm in big favor of that.
So as a commissioner, would you try to work towards with Waldo Cap or with the cities and towns to develop transportation?
I would want to listen to what they proposing. I do believe that we have a financial responsibility towards our elderly. I really do. As well as I do believe that we have a financial responsibility towards our veterans. I keep coming back to that. We have a lot of elderly veterans. We are losing our World War II veterans at a rate that's unbelievable. We have three left. We have three left in Lincolnville now. And so, yes. And so I'm always willing to listen and move
willing
forward.
Willing to listen to a proposal. How about you pick up the phone, and are you willing to pick up the phone and say, this is Rosie Gary, Waldo County Commissioner. I want to know what's going on here.
I wouldn't be afraid of that at all.
Okay.
I wouldn't be afraid of that at all. And if you are familiar with me at all as a selectman, you'd know that I do not leave something alone. Whether it makes you happy, you know, and I'm not, you know, whether you like what I'm saying or you don't, if I'm on the tracks, I'm going to stay on. I'll listen to what you have to say, but I'm on the track and I'm not afraid to knock on your door or give you a phone call.
What about seeking out, like, if you saw a need like transportation, and there hadn't been anybody to make a proposal? How would you seek out groups? Actually, I think this Aging Well in Waldo County has been doing some stuff with transportation.
Yes. Yes.
Would you seek them out? Would you? That's a harder one.
It is a harder thing to do. I would have to be very honest. I would have to familiarize myself with that much more than what I am right now.
Yeah.
I would
seek out whatever.
Right. Yeah. Not to get off the bandwagon too much. But I just want to, just to let you know, we have four large, it's just kind of a comparison. It's not apples and apples, but kind of a thing. We have four large fields in Lincolnville that are now in the state park. And they're growing up at such a rate that we're going to lose them. We're going to lose this. We're going to lose the top of a mountain.
Where is it going to go?
It's growing up. The trees are growing up so fast in these blueberry fields, these old blueberry fields, that, and they're these beautiful vistas. Like when you're up there in the field, the views are disappearing, and the trees are coming up so fast. So I don't want to be the head of it, and I don't want to be, you know, but I just got a small team together. They're going to kind of set up a trust and try to get there so that they can go back and preserve these fields. I don't mind nudging the ball and pushing the ball and getting people. I don't want to be in charge. I don't want to be the chairman. I don't want to do this. But here's what you could do to make this work.
Okay.
So.
Fair enough.
But I had to learn out. I had to find out what the problem was first, and the logistics around that, and then move forward from there. Is that a good politician's answer?
That sounds pretty good. I think you're on your way. So, where do you stand on social issues? Would you consider yourself a moderate, or left or right or something else?
I would say I'm moderate. Sometimes I have a tendency, depending on the issue, to lean hard to the left. Sometimes I lean hard to the right. Doesn't make you happy, but unfortunately it's not always about you or me. It's what's good in the big picture. And sometimes we just don't see the big picture.
Well, let me ask you a few questions. Do you support a woman's right to decide whether to proceed with a pregnancy? That's kind of a bellwether issue.
It's a big issue right now going on. I'm gonna put my woman life right on the line and say, you're the one that needs to make the decision. I shouldn't be making decisions for you. You're gonna go out and buy a new car. You say, how does that work? Same thing. You're going to spend $1 billion on a new car. But I do believe that we might want to think about it if you, well, never mind. I'm just going to leave. I'm going to leave that leave alone. That I don't want to go. I don't want to really want to go there.
Would you support free college and elimination of college debt?
Not at this point in time. Okay. Not at this point in time. No, I think the rest of it. What's that?
It's getting pretty costly out there.
It is getting very costly out there. But I also think that each one of us that has chose to further our education in the past have found means and have worked through it. And I think we have some really very well-educated people out there. And I think it's important, and I think you value things more if you have to earn the money to support whatever it is you want to do.
What about single-payer health care? Are you familiar with Maine AllCare that's working for universal health care in Maine?
Yes. Yes. I'm flabbergasted that other countries are able to do this. There's a solution there. But if the left and the right are not willing to sit down and agonize through this, you got to both be willing to give. It can't be always on the left. It can't be always on the right. If you and I are going to go out here and dig a garden, and I grab a spade and you grab a spade, and I say we should dig here, and you say, no, I think we should dig over here, I think we need to find the common ground.
Good title, right?
Good title, right?
Okay. Some say that Democrats and Republicans are alike, that money defines both of the parties. When looking through the economic lens, is there anything to this charge?
Simplify that more.
Well, socially, when you say, well, I'm socially conservative, I'm socially liberal, you kind of know what you mean by that. Those are the questions I asked before. But the economic lens is different. Some people say they're socially conservative and fiscally liberal. I don't know if I've ever heard anybody say that, but yeah, they go the other way. Where are you fiscally? Do you believe that our needs could be put on hold, our needs and our wants, while we put our financial thing in order, or that we should focus on the needs of people?
I think always being out of debt is always important. Or as close to being out of debt as you possibly can. I think doing things to, do I think that we should sacrifice this organization over here so that we could pick up the deficit and make things work over here? No, I think there's room. We can keep this going so that this is still functional, and yet we can keep working at balancing the budgets, always balancing things out. I do believe that is important. And there's ways to do that. You don't have to, if a program is merely milking the system, get rid of it. Get rid of it. If it's really just milking the system. And we do have some programs like that. We really do. You might think it's, and I might think. So that's where that magnetic thing is, where you would see this from different eyes. There's no question. There is no question in my mind that there's, and I didn't notice this so much when growing up as a kid, but today there's such a difference between the left and the right. It is like two magnets. It's almost like two different worlds completely.
How do you feel about Trump sharing the spotlight with Putin, disparaging the FBI and his own executive branch?
Well,
just a current event to throw out there.
I thought I thought reruns of MASH was better. I'm just absolutely disgusted to the whole thing. I'm sorry. I don't know how. I saw no purpose in this. But that's my opinion. I just saw no purpose in this. And but there again, I probably shouldn't make this statement, but I'll be very honest with you and tell you and tell the folks out there. This last election, I've always voted. Where I felt there was, I could not take the attitude the lesser of the two evils here. I did not vote in the national election this last time. I'm sorry, did not do it. There was no place for me to go.
Okay, will you be supporting Bruce Poliquin for re-election?
I will not.
Okay.
No.
Very good. Well, I wanted to ask how people could reach you with questions or comments on your campaign or anything that's come up.
They can. I'll tell you. They can call me.
Okay. What's your phone number?
My phone number is, and I'm going to do a little explanation afterwards. Is 207-975-5432. You will need to leave a message, because if I don't recognize your number. There are so many scam calls and so many garbage things out there that you call me.
Yeah.
You had to leave a message.
Yeah.
I will not answer the phone usually on the first unless I recognize your number. I will take your number. I will call you back.
As you did?
I did. It was several hours later.
That's okay.
And I apologized and said, I'll get back. And I think my message is I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
Yeah.
And so I would say anybody that wants to call me, ask me any questions, do the same thing. I will take your number. I will call you back. It might be several hours later.
Thank you so much, Rosie.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to meet you and appreciate having you on the show.
No problem.
And I want to thank our listeners and let you know that Bev Stone will be on the show next week and Diane Braybrook the week after. And I wanted to let you know that on August 12th, if you want to mark your calendars, at the Belfast Boathouse, the station will be having a summer shindig. And we're going to be having old-fashioned summer fun with three-legged races and barbecue and dancing and wiffle ball and even a pie-eating contest. So if you want more information or you'd like to volunteer, you can email the station at info@belfastcommunityradio.org. Thanks again for listening, and we will talk to you next week.